is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Right now with Congressman Peter DeFazio spending some time in Douglas County over the weekend, checking out the fire situation. You've been watching this, as we all have, for several days. I'm curious what it was like for you when fires began out east of Springfield.
Well, Monday night I was sitting on my front deck having a beer, looking across the valley to the Coburg Hills. Wind came up incredibly. I started to hear limbs break, heard a tree go down. We live right up in the forest. And then about 5 minutes later, the Coburg Hills disappeared. And then about 15 minutes later, I couldn't see much past my neighbor's house. I said, this is not good. The fire coming down the McKenzie was, it ran 13 miles in 1 hour. We had firefighters and a group of people trapped up at McKenzie Bridge, and they saved the high school. That's where they sheltered. And then we weren't able to evacuate them until a day later. We've lost the town of Blue River in its entirety. We don't know how many structures. We found some of the first mortality. We expect there'll be more. It's an unfolding situation, but I've gone to fire briefs every morning, and I've gotten a to-do list out of those. The first ask up there was, we don't know where this fire is. We can't spot it. It's in remote areas. I called the chief of the Forest Service, and after some effort, she was able to arrange a satellite infrared, which helped them a lot to begin to plan for fire lines. And then next problem was communications. I got in touch with Verizon, and they brought in a temporary cell tower. They're bringing in more so we can communicate. We lost all our repeaters, and it's been way worse up the McKenzie, but that's obviously a tragedy here too. A lot of people have lost their houses here. We don't know the extent of the damage yet, and we're still fighting it. We're looking toward better weather for the next couple of days, but that can change real quickly in the fall around here. So, we got to keep pounding away to get more resources. I helped expedite the emergency declaration by the president and individual assistance. I got a hold of his chief of staff, who served on my committee for 6 years, Mark Meadows, and he got the president. He called me on Tuesday night to say, or no, Tuesday. It's Thursday night to say, or Wednesday. I can't remember. It's all running together. Anyway, he called me 7:30 one night this week to say, we're on the way on Air Force One. I got the president to sign it, which means we can pay to put people in motels and hotels and get them other assistance. But that's emergency stuff. Long term, I'm having the regional administrator of FEMA down. They're under the jurisdiction of my committee this week. And we're going to begin to prepare for a major declaration, which will make resources available for a rebuilding of homes and businesses, wherever they've been affected by this disaster. The whole state's covered. Obviously, Talent, Phoenix are gone. We have unbelievable, just extraordinary devastation everywhere, homes, businesses, and loss of life. This is totally unprecedented. And if someone doesn't believe that climate change and the drying out year after year of our forests and this unbelievable northeast wind with very unusual weather patterns contributed to this, they're out to lunch.
Well, last weekend, weekend prior to this past one, Weather Service had put up information talking about the weather, the heat, the winds, and the potential for something they said only happened a few times a century. And I looked at that a little dubious. Those don't always come through. And then as things began to evolve so quickly, a day or so into things, probably Thursday, I talked to somebody with the Oregon Department of Forestry in Salem, and he talked about the fact that we'd had 5 mega fires over 100,000 acres in a 2-day period. But yet on the flip side, there had only been several between 2000 and 2020, and there had only been one, I think, between 1900 and the year 2000. I mean, this is just very unusual.
Well, it's definitely a trend and a pattern. You know, I've been living in Oregon for almost 50 years, and I remember, you know, we always got some rain in August, and then September, you know, by now we'd be seeing some rains. We always had better snowpack. This has been over the last 20, 25 years, a trend every year, drier, less snowpack, earlier snowmelt, you know, drier forests, and then these unbelievable winds. I mean, they were gusting to past gale force out of the northeast. You know, I talked to weather folks. They said, we don't ever remember anything like that in recorded history. And that's what triggered these fires. There were existing fires that blew up. They blew down a lot of power lines, triggered fires everywhere. And that's what's happening up up in Clackamas. That's what's happening in Lynn. That's what's happening in Lane, Douglas, and then down in Jackson, Josephine. You know, this is an unprecedented, widespread disaster.
Multiple phases of this. Right now, it's getting additional crews that are continuing to come in, yet there's a scarcity because there's so many fires in California, et cetera. But then you look up the road, and then it's cleanup, and then at some point, you've got to look at rebuilding, and in some cases, looking at entire chunks of communities, or in some cases, entire communities. That's Paradise, California. We remember what that was like. It's been very slow progress there, and we're going to have more of that here in Oregon.
Well, I have a friend who lives up Mackenzie Bridge. Luckily, he was on the east side of the fire. But he gave me a great idea. When we get the individual assistance, which I got signed off on by the president a few days ago, that those people can be anywhere with the individual assistance. And he said, you know, St. Benedict's up the Mackenzie can put up 200 people. We got lodges up there that can put up people. They're certainly not going to be getting any tourists. Let people from those communities go back into the lodges, go back into St. Benedict's, go elsewhere, and be part of the rebuilding effort and having their rent paid for, and by the way, keeping the resort and St. Benedict's in business. We may have a similar situation here. We don't know what's going to happen up at Diamond Lake, and then, you know, up above Glide. You know, so you know, as much as we can get people back close to their community with rental assistance, and so they can actually, as members of the community, be there to help in the rebuilding, I think it would be a fabulous thing.
And all of this comes on the heels of all the rest of 2020, which has been one crisis after another.
Yeah, COVID, the economy, and now catastrophic westwide fires. I'm just kind of waiting for the locusts.
Is there ever a day that you get up and think, I should have retired already?
No, because I can get stuff done. I mean, the chief of the Forest Service isn't going to call back just anybody. I know her personally. She's from Washington State. You know, the president's chief of staff, the governor was having trouble getting the declaration signed. The chief of staff worked with me on my committee. Yeah, we disagreed politically, but we got along just fine. And he's a smart guy. And he expedited that. I've got connections that I've put together through many, many years in Washington, D.C., that most other members of Congress don't have, and certainly any freshman member would never have.
Congressman Peter DeFazio spending some time. How long will it be before you're back in D.C.? Any idea?
We're in session next week, but my committee's next major bill doesn't come up until the week after. So I'm allowed to vote by proxy. Most of the bills are not going anywhere except through the House. I will vote by proxy so I can be here to work with FEMA and work with the state. I got to get ODOT down here to figure out how we're going to keep the Umpqua Highway open, how we're going to keep the Mackenzie River Highway open through the winter when we're going to start to get mudslides and boulders rolling down and trees falling with snow on them or wind events. So I got a lot of work to do. I'm going to stay home this week. And then next week, my committee is reforming the process by which airliners are certified because of all the people that were killed by Boeing's mistakes. And we got to change that process. So I will be back in D.C. then. that next week, but I can put in another week here for now.
All right, Congressman Peter DeFazio, thanks for spending time with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Kyle. Everybody hang together, be kind to your neighbors, help as much as you can.
Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson coming up at 1. And on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, Sergeant Brad Odell, the Douglas County Sheriff's Office. It'll give us time to kind of do an in-depth update on all things Douglas County as we deal with the impact of the Archie Creek fire in a lot of different ways. By the way, still see that parts of the west side of Roseburg without power at this hour. Not sure of the cause of that. We're trying to check on the situation. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Bob, good afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about the health situation. We've been dealing with this for a few days. Originally, we thought that today the smoke would start to dissipate. Now it's starting to look like that's going to be more like Wednesday to Thursday here. We've been in hazardous conditions for a couple of days here. Is there a potential long-term impact on this to people in the area?
Well, we think that exposure to smoke, especially to these fine particulates, is dangerous to your lungs, and it's related to how much you breathe in and for how long you do it. So we're going on now 4 days of really hazardous air conditions, and so it will start to take an effect first on those who are most vulnerable, and that will be people with lung problems, the elderly, and children.
And at what level, are these serious, very serious? What should folks be doing?
Well, these levels we've never seen before. Oregon typically has great air. Our PM scores are usually 10 or 20. Yesterday we were over 500. Today we're in the 300s. So this is really many, many, many times worse than what we typically see. So this really is a dangerous situation.
Now, we've seen them in the 500s this morning. I know it's improved a bit now. And as we go through the next few days, is there a scenario for some people where they should consider even, if they can somehow do it, leaving the area for a few days until it improves?
Well, if there's a place you can go where the air is better, we would certainly recommend that. Unfortunately, many of the places in Oregon now do have bad air. It's a little bit better at the coast. Our recommendation, though, would be mostly for people to be inside with the windows closed and to be using an air purifier or an air conditioner.
And a lot of folks, even inside, are having issues. We note that the city of Roseburg has closed all their public buildings right now, and there seems to be a heightening level of concern as this drags on.
Well, again, remember, it's the amount you're breathing in for the length, and then the length of time is increasing, so it is becoming increasingly serious. Although we did check this morning with the emergency department, and they've not seen a huge increase in people complaining of respiratory problems.
Well, that's good news, and we may be dealing with this for a while. Even ODOT earlier this morning talking about not driving if you didn't have to, staying off the roadways, and even the roadways themselves deemed a bit dangerous because of low visibility.
Right. The visibility was very low. I spoke with Commissioner Freeman this morning, and he said the visibility was less than 50 feet up in Sutherland. That's very dangerous for accidents. Now, cars typically have reasonably good filtration systems, so the air in your car is probably going to be okay, but there is some danger when visibility is so low.
Well, if it's not one thing, it's another right now. For a while, we were telling people to spend more time, do more activities outside because related to COVID-19, that was safer, but now you can't breathe the air. Which way do we go here?
2020 is the year that will never end. I mean, it's just been one thing after another. The concerns about COVID are real, And again, you don't get COVID from being inside or outside. You get it from being in close contact with people, otherwise people who would have it. So staying inside with your family, we think, is perfectly safe. And during this time, you should avoid big gatherings anyhow.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of people dealing with kids being at home. We'll see what some of the districts do tomorrow. That's going to be an evolving situation. Some districts are K-3 in person, and some are 4-12 distance learning. A few of the rural districts still doing that today, but a lot of them staying home altogether, which means more people are at home. Some parents are having to work home. It is just a very crazy time for families to navigate getting through it safely.
It is a crazy time. But the good news is that the COVID situation is relatively better. We've had low levels of cases now for 5 straight weeks. So low that the schools K-12 can open. So that's a good sign, because we're worried that as people congregate in shelters, as people congregate in hotel rooms, that there may be a spread of disease.
Right, and I noticed two new cases today. It's remaining very low. Now, are you still able to get out and do these drive-through testing clinics?
We are. So we're still going to be doing our drive-through testing tomorrow at the fairgrounds, and then again on Friday at the fairgrounds. We're obviously going to be wearing masks, so we'll be safe outdoors, and we think that the short amount of time that people need to do the drive-throughs will be acceptable.
Overall, for the state of Oregon, it seems like the number of cases goes up and down in recent days. I'm guessing that's partly due based on how many tests come back, and not so much a pattern. But what are you seeing right now on the state COVID-19 data?
So on the COVID-19 data, we're stable in the state between 100 and 200 cases a day, which is still way too many, right? The state should be down between 20 and 40 a day to really have this under control. And so we think we still have far too many cases. Again, there are big hotspots still in Multnomah County, Washington County, Malheur County, still having a lot of cases, and Umatilla for its size is still having far more than its share.
And obviously with all the impacts, you mentioned that some of them a minute ago, of the fires, is there a concern that's going to lead to an uptick in cases?
Absolutely, because we worry when people are in congregate shelters. We worry that when people are staying with friends and relatives, that they're just increasing the amount of crowding. And by increasing the amount of crowding, will increase their risk for disease. And that's why it's so good to have the disease low, because there's very little circulating disease in the community. And with very little circulating disease, the risk of being in a congregate shelter is less, obviously, than if there was a tremendous amount of disease around.
And my understanding, based on what I'm seeing here locally and likely in other locations, that as shelters are needed for folks displaced by the wildfires, that counties, Red Cross, whoever, are using bigger facilities than they might normally so they can keep people more socially distant.
Well, they're doing two things. One is they're trying to get people in hotels if all possible, so that the number of people living in the fairgrounds, in the Douglas Hall, has been small. They've been trying to have people stay in RVs or in tents where they can be socially distanced. And then if you do have to go to Douglas Hall, the beds are spaced apart, far further apart than they normally would be.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, any thoughts about both the air quality and the COVID-19 situation before we go?
I would just say stay safe and be kind.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
And on tomorrow's program, we're going to talk to Sergeant Brad Odell of the Douglas County Sheriff's Office. A lot of information coming out of the Sheriff's Office related to the Archie Creek fire and some of the air quality issues as well. So it'll give us a chance to get an in-depth update with the county government and all the information you need in one big package. Sergeant Brad Odell with us tomorrow on Inside Douglas County at 12:30. 12:57, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.